You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We usually think about Talmud Torah as Lilmod Amanas Lassos. We're learning Torah in all its various ramifications to be able to have knowledge how to perform the Tayag Mitzvahs HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us at Har Sinai, how to also fulfill not only the Mitzvahs D'Oraisa, but to fulfill the Mitzvahs D'Rabbanan, which later on Chazal were masaking for us through the Anshei Knesset HaGedola and the Sanhedrin HaGadol throughout the generations. They made Takanos, they made Gezeros, there are various Minhagim that were established. So we usually look upon our learning of Torah as a halachic oriented type of activity. And the fact of the matter is, it is in many respects a halachic oriented activity. Most of the Talmudic text of Torah Shel Baal Peh deals with an in-depth analysis of the minutiae of the halacha contained in Tayag Mitzvahs. And therefore, that's why we say a person has to be Lilmot Amanas Lausas, learn Torah in order to know how to perform the mitzvahs properly. So when you know the Tayag Mitzvahs that you have to perform, you know all the halachas related to the minutiae and the performance of that mitzvah. And this will make sure you do the mitzvah properly. This applies not only to men, it applies even to women. Women are mechiyavos to learn also all the halachos and minutiae relating to the mitzvahs that they're mechiyavos to observe. And I once pointed out that when it comes to how many mitzvahs women have to observe, it might not be tayag, but basically 95% of the rest of the Torah, they are mechiyavos to observe like their male counterparts. So there's a lot of halacha lamasa we have to learn when it comes to practical halacha, the do's and the don'ts, on every level, practical level, to perform the mitzvahs properly. A person who's on Ma'aretz, who doesn't know the halachas of how to do mitzvahs, cannot be a spiritual person, ain't on Ma'aretz Chassid, the Mishnah says. So therefore, we have to learn in order to be able to know and understand the mitzvahs we're doing on a halachic level to perform them properly. However, there's another dimension of Talmud Torah, which I want to accentuate today. And that is the concept, besides learning the halachic basics and all the halachic minutiae related to performance of Torah and mitzvahs, there is an entire literature contained in the Talmudic texts of Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi, contained in all the midrashim that we have in Torah Shel Baal Peh on Kol HaTorah Kula, contained in Kabbalistic literature of the Zohar and all the related treatises on Kabbalistic literature. There is another major activity that is accentuated in all of these Makaras. And that is, there is a concept that not only do we have to study the practical mechanics of performing the mitzvah, but we have to pursue what is called the concept of studying Ta'amei HaMitzvos, the reason and rationale behind the mitzvahs we perform of the Tayag Mitzvos. It just so happens that the Rambam himself, in his Sefer on Mishneh Torah and Halachas of Me'ilah and Temura and other places, and he does this Ba'arichos in his philosophical work in the Maran Nebuchadnezzar, points out that there is another dimension in Talmud Torah that we are mechuyev to be involved with. And that is the concept of studying what's called ta'amei hamitzvos, the reason and rationale behind the mitzvahs of the Torah. And according to the Rambam, this is a major chelek in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So not only do we have to know the halachic particulars of each and every mitzvah, but we have to understand and comprehend the hashkafas behind each and every mitzvah as part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And there's no question that the Rishonim ultimately hold this way, and that is why the Rambam, the Ramban, the Sefer Chinuch, I can go down the list of Rishonim and Achronim, took a lot of time in their various Perushim, various interpretations of Torah, to not only to discuss the particulars of the halachic dimension of the Torah, but also spend a lot of time on discussing the hashkafic dimensions of the Torah. The Ramban does this extensively in his Perush L'Chumash in particular, and his other works on Torah. And the Rambam Maimonides does this in a very, very organized fashion in a major section of his Moreh Nevuchim. The question I want to pose this morning is, why is it important to study Tamei HaMitzvos? What is the reason behind it? What's the rationale behind it? And how do we utilize this? How do we understand it? What is the meaning of to know what the Tam HaMitzvah is? So listen very carefully as I will share with you today, this morning, a very important yesod in learning Torah, a yesod that I received personally from my dear beloved Rebbe, Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik Zatzal, who we called affectionately the Rav, who had a direct Kabbalah. And this Kabbalah came directly from his specific Zayda, who I'm talking about specifically, the famous Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. He is the one who unquestionably was Megala to his children, his grandchildren, and to Doras, how we undertake the activity of studying Tamei HaTorah. And in the course of my presentation today, it will be Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Soloveitchik himself, the grandson, and other Gedolim who are also dealt with this topic. I'll be sharing with you their perspective. So when you do involve yourselves in the concept of studying the Tamim, the reasons behind the Torah, when you look in the Sefer Chinuch, where each and every one of the Tayyar mitzvahs that he enumerates, he then says, Sheirush HaMitzvah, what is the Sheirush, the root of the mitzvah? He's basically giving you his presentation of what other Tamim of the Tayyar mitzvahs contained in the Torah. That's what the Sefer Chinuch is known for. So what I'm going to talk to you today is why this is important, why, in fact, we actually do this, why, in fact, most of the Musa Svarim that are on the marketplace today, whether you're dealing with the Mesilas Yesharim, or you're dealing with other great classical Svarim that deal with Hashkafes HaTeir, Chavis HaLavavais, we can go down the list. All of them primarily are dealing with trying to give us a perspective of Tamei HaMitzvos, Hashkafes HaMitzvos, besides the halachic svarim that deal with the particulars of the halachic minutiae of practice of Torah, like the Mishnah Berura and other svarim, the Chochmas Adam, the Chaya Adam, and all the Gedolei Achreinim and Poskim of earlier generations who dealt with the minutiae. We are going to talk about the Hashkafes HaTorah, which is part and parcel of the Mitzvah Talmud Torah. I want to point out to you, Talmidos, that Rav Soloveitchik always said that the paradigm example of what is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is performed on the night of Pesach. We have a mitzvah, Higadol Levincha, teaching the phenomenon of what happened when it came to Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Zachar Mash Oslecha Hashem, we have to remember what Hashem did for us in Mitzrayim, and he did for us when we left Mitzrayim. All of the Haggadah, if you look very carefully, is not only involving ourselves in studying the halachas of that night, is not only in basically trying to understand the history of what took place up to Yetzias Mitzrayim and after Yetzias Mitzrayim, but there is a certain segment of the Haggadah where Rabbi Gamliel says that you have to understand the Tamei HaMitzvah of Pesach, Matzah, Morah, and if you did not spend time in the Tamei HaMitzvah of these three mitzvahs, Halayla, Pesach, Matzah, Morah, Lokia mitzvah, so you haven't fulfilled the total mitzvah of the mitzvah of CPC Mitzrayim, which is the mitzvah, Aseh Deraisa, of what we call the Haggadah today. So if that's the case, Rav Soloveitchik says, we therefore see that understanding Tamei HaMitzvah was an integral part of the learning experience we have on the night of Pesach, and this is therefore another proof that when you're involved in learning Torah, studying Tamei HaMitzvahs is crucial. That's why the Gemara itself, for those who learn in yeshivas around the world and are learning Talmud Bavli on a continual ongoing basis, the Gemara is not only full of concepts concerning halachic minutiae, halachic debates and discussions and halachic performance and questions that are posed, but there's a great portion of the Shas that's based upon Hashkafes HaTorah, dealing with Tamei HaMitzvos, and that's another major part of the learning of Torah that we do in our yeshivas on a continuing ongoing basis, 365 days a year. In fact, there was a sefer later on that was produced called the Ein Yaakov, where the Gadol who wrote that sefer just collected all the agados, all the hashkafas of Shas. He deleted the halachic parts. So those people who want to concentrate only on hashkafa at that point in time and don't want to involve themselves in the halachic sections of the Gemara can spend that time and effort with the Ein Yaakov, as many places do. I mean, the shuls have a seder in it. I know for a fact that the Chassam Sofer used to learn with his daughters, the Ein Yaakov, to teach him Hashkafas HaTorah by learning those parts of Shas that deal with Hashkafas HaTorah in the Sefer Ein Yaakov. So it is, therefore, a minig of Klal Yisrael to study Hashkafas HaTorah on a very, very significant basis. In many yeshivas, they used to set aside a time period to do this every day as the Musa Sefer, as the Hashkafa Seder of the day. So listen carefully to the importance behind this. Why do you think the Ribbono Shalom wanted, when it came to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, for us to study what's called the Tami HaMitzvahs? What's the reason? What's the rationale? So I heard from Soloveitchik and other Gedolim who deal with this topic, the reason is based upon a very simple practical reality. We are mitzvah to perform not Zayin mitzvahs like the non-Jewish world. We're mechuyev to perform 613 mitzvahs on a deraisa level, and all the subsections of deraisa mitzvah that go under those 613, which go into the thousands, Mrs. Derabanan, and Hogim of Kabbalah Yisrael. The fact of the matter is, we who have to do so much mitzvahs, if we just did them as a divine mandate, as a Gezeres HaKasuf, then the fact of the matter is we are mechanically performing additional mitzvahs which the non-Jewish world don't do. And just performing mitzvahs mechanically without understanding the Hashkafa they're trying to teach us and the Hashkafa, which quite obviously we have to know in order to understand what this mitzvah means to us as we perform it, and also not to get bored in performing mitzvahs, not knowing what you're doing. That's called doing mitzvahs of Anoshim Olamad, or just do mitzvahs on a very, very superficial mechanical level without impacting upon your heart and your mind and your personality. The Ribbono Shel Olam felt that if we're going to have so many mitzvahs that we have to do, and the mitzvahs themselves, it says in a Mishnah at the end of Makos, which we recite every time we finish a perek in Pirkei Avos, it says, "Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu lezakos Yisrael l'ficha hivu l'mtar mitzvahs, shenem Hashem l'chafes l'man tzidko yagdol tar yadir." The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted the mezakah klal Yisrael, so he therefore gave us Torah of the mitzvahs. He gave us a lot of them, not just 7, but 613 plus. And if that's the case, this is lezakos to purify the Jewish people. What does lezakos mean? Just to give us extra zechuyas, extra brownie points for doing more mitzvahs than the non-Jewish world? No. Lezakos means to purify us, to spiritually elevate us, to make us think differently than the rest of the world, to make us think like a ben Torah, and to make us think like a bas Torah, that the hashkaf of Klal Yisrael, the way we think, the way we act, the way we react to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the way we react to society around us, should be guided through the prism of Torah. And the only way we can have that happen is by understanding the hashkafa behind each and every one of the Tayyag mitzvahs we do, the Asay and the Mrs. Los Asay, the 248 Mrs. Asay, the 365 Mrs. Los Asay. If we understand why we're doing it, and we understand the hashkafa represented by each and every mitzvah, therefore, when we're doing the mitzvah and we understand why we are doing this mitzvah, the time behind the mitzvah no longer becomes a mechanical activity. It no longer is a rote type of activity. It's not a mitzvah, a nashim alamada. It becomes a learning device. It becomes an experiential device. It leaves an indelible impact upon us, our personality, the way we think, the way we act. It develops our hashkafa, our ideology, and the way we perceive things, the way we look upon the world, the way we interact with human beings, the way we interact with the animal kingdom, the environment in which we live. So the mitzvahs themselves, to have the ability, lezakos, to purify us and to ultimately elevate us, that we should be really the Am HaNivcha, the Am Kadosh, and represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine essence in this world, what allows us to do this is that the fact that we're learning Torah b'mitzvos, we're not just learning the do's and don'ts and the halachic mechanics, but we're being exposed to a very, very vast literature of Hashkafas HaTorah, which is contained in the Makaris of Torah Shel Peh, teaching us what each and every mitzvah is all about. Therefore, when we take the Dalad Minim, when we basically think of the Hashkafas, what this represents, it has an indelible impact upon us. When we put on a piyata tefillin, and we think what it represents, it has an indelible impact upon us. When we're eating kosher and not eating non-kosher, we understand the reasons behind this, has an indelible impact upon us. When it comes to halachas that relate to the environment in which we live and the preservation of the ecosystem and everything else, when we do certain mitzvahs which represent that, we have a different perspective of our responsibility in making sure the world exists and flourishes and we don't destroy the universe in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. So I can go on and go on, but what I'm pointing out to you is that the hashkafas contained in the mitzvos are crucial in shaping the personality of the Jewish people. The fact of the matter is that the Rambam, and I'm going to use the Rambam and the Ramban today as the primary Rishonim who deal with this, point out that in actuality, there were some Chachamim who wanted to claim the mitzvahs are merely chukim, merely basically statutes. There's no rhyme and reason. And they use the Maim Chazal, which says, Ma'ich pislei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what difference does it make to Rabbeinu Shalom? Whether we shecht an animal from the back, or we shecht an animal from the front, which we do, from the front and the back and ech, lanita hamitzvahs ala tzafa brios, the mitzvahs were given only to test us to see if we'll do what Hashem tells us to do, even though perhaps we might not comprehend. Now that medrash seems to indicate mitzvahs are chukim, mitzvahs are basically chukim, are basically statutes, divine mandates, which we have no comprehension about. But then, besides the medrash chazal like that, we then find other midrashi chazal, which are quoted by chazal, where the medrash seems to indicate that when we basically do a specific mitzvah, we have to realize that this mitzvah represents this hashkafa, and this mitzvah represents that hashkafa. And we're going to give you an example and explain to you, as the Rambam says in Moreh Nevuchim, that most Rishonim categorically rejected the concept that mitzvahs are merely a chok, a divine decree, and most of Rishonim and Achreinim basically followed in suit, holding that Tamei HaMitzvahs are crucial in our observance of Torah v'mitzvahs and in shaping our personality, and therefore, for that reason, studying Tamei HaMitzvahs is as much a mitzvah of Talmud Torah and Hashkafas HaTorah as the acts of halachos that involve the performance of Tayag mitzvahs. One of the classic examples I'm going to use today is mitzvahs that represent a specific hashkafa that you are familiar with. The hashkafa is called the concept of tzar balachayim in the Torah, the tzar that you put upon living creatures. If you harm them by causing them pain, even though you don't kill them, but you basically cause pain to the animal creatures of this world, according to many Rishonim, it's not only the human animal, but to the animal in the field. If I do anything to cause pain and anguish to animals in this world, human animals and regular zoo animals, I'm violating an Issa Deraisa called Tzar Balechai Min HaTorah. I'm going to give you two examples, which the Rambam and the Ramban quote, and explain to you what they say when it comes to these mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah called the mitzvah of Shaluach HaKan. All of you have heard of this mitzvah. If you find a bird's nest that's been bed, their mother is basically hovering over its baby birds in a place that's hefker, in a place that doesn't belong to anybody. Ki karl chachan tzipor, you happen to come across a nest egg with a mother bird hovering over the eggs there, or hovering over the little chicks that hatched in that nest. So let's say, for instance, you want those eggs. Let's say, for instance, you want those little birds for supper, for lunch, whatever you want to do. So the Torah says before you can basically take those chicks and those eggs, because everything in this world was created for human benefit, but he also is bara for the purposes of human beings, mankind being able to benefit from all the physical entities that Hashem created in this world. both Klal Yisrael and the non-Jewish world are supposed to have hana, enjoyment from the Bria Ta'olam that Hashem created from the beginning of the creation of the universe, all the fruits and vegetables and meats and all the other entities that are contained in this universe that we can get benefit from. Not only are we allowed, but we're mechuyev to use them for our benefit. There's a concept of kibush olam, conquering the universe and using all its natural resources for the benefit of mankind on every level we possibly can, to make human life as enjoyable and as successful as it possibly can be. And therefore, being inventive, being constructive, being technologically advanced, using this world for all different types of medical cures and technological advancements to make mankind's life much more successful and much more, I would say, efficient in what we have to do in this world, and have more time by being efficient to be able to learn and study Torah and study other spiritual texts to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All this is part of Hashem's divine plan and what he did when he gave us Chachma Satayr and Chachma of Maisa Bracious, which we're supposed to study and analyze and understand and apply. So the fact of the matter is, when it comes to these activities, Hashem said, I'm going to allow you to eat those little chicks, to eat the eggs that are contained in this nest, but I have a proviso. I first want you to send the mother bird away, and once the mother bird is no long, then you can then take the baby children of the egg form, or in little fledgling baby bird form, you can take it for your future sudos as part of the riches you have to eat these creatures as part of the nourishment you have in this world, which Hashem gave you going back to the beginnings of Briat Olam, especially when we come to Parshas Noach, when mankind at that time was given the heter to eat meat, because in the beginning of the Torah, we were basically supposed to be vegetarians. But after Parshas Noach and the Mabul took place, Hashem gave us a greater heter to be able to eat the animal kingdom as well as part of the nourishment of mankind. That's a topic I'm not going into today, but I just want to mention that specific fact historically. So if that's the case, the Torah says, you want to eat those little chicks? You want to eat those eggs? Gesundheit, they're there for you. But I don't want the mother bird to be present. Why? Because the mother bird, when she sees you taking her chicks away in front of her, or she sees you taking her eggs that she laid away from in front of her, the bird suffers sorrow, suffers pain, emotionally, psychologically, because birds have a love for its children and offspring, like all animals have love for birth and the raising of their offspring, the same way as these human beings have love and compassion and concern for the offspring which we produce. That's part of Teva, the natural law that Hashem gave to all creatures on the face of this earth, both human creatures and non-human creatures. We have a certain love and affiliation to our children. So to show our concern for Tzar Balei Chaim, which is the hashkafa behind this specific mitzvah, to show our sensitivity of not causing unnecessary pain to the animal kingdom, the Rabbeinu Shalom therefore said, send away the mother bird, let her not be there at the time in which you're taking her little babies away. She shouldn't get tzar by seeing this and witnessing this. And then habanim tikach lach, and Hashem in fact promises you arichas yamim v'shanim for doing the mitzvah this way. Interesting enough, another mitzvah which has a promise of Arichas Yom HaVishanim is one of the most important mitzvahs contained in the Torah, and that's the mitzvah of what? Of Kibud Av V'Em. So the Gemara points out in many places, but therefore we sometimes don't understand the value of mitzvahs, the Matan Tzchar Shel mitzvahs, because the same way there's Arichas Yom HaVishanim for the mitzvah Gedola of Kibud Av V'Em, there's a promise of Arichas Yom HaVishanim for the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKohen, sending the mother bird away and taking the babies for you. So the technicality is how you perform Shiluach HaKohen and how you take the mother and you basically move her away from the nest. You do it by hand, you do it indirectly, but you have to make sure the mother's not there. And where you find the nest to make it, then the Shiluach HaKohen, what's considered Hefko. These are all major halachos which deal with the halachic perspective. The Tam HaMitzvah, the Hashkafa, is to show sensitivity to Tzar Balei Chaim is min HaTorah, and therefore we understand the next time we see a Shluach HaKohen and we send the mother bird away, we understand we're not just mechanically doing this because God said so, but it's to sensitize us that we should be Baal Rachamim, have compassion. The Torah says, Racham Avo Klamasov, God has divine compassion on all his creatures. We likewise, who have to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Halakta B'Derachav, also have to have compassion on God's creatures that he created in this world, and therefore not cause them undue pain as we interact with them in our daily existence. So the mechanical concept of Shluach HaKan is how you do the mitzvah of Shluach HaKan. That's the mitzvah part. The Tamei mitzvah is what's the reason behind this, and that is Tsar Balei Chayim Min HaTorah. Another example, which Chazal quote, which the Ramban brings in his Perish Lechumish on this specific sugya, the Nachmanides says the mitzvah of how we do Shechita. When it comes to ritual slaughter, there are various halachas how you're supposed to do ritual slaughter. A person to become a shechet has to study quite long and have the ability to perform the shechita with the proper halachas. Has to know how to sharpen the knife, razor sharp. There are basically five halachos that are what we're called psulei shechita, which invalidate the shechita if you don't do the shechita properly. By doing these five different types of invalidating activities when you're shechting, it renders the shechita halachically not a kosher shechita. An animal therefore is not a geshechten animal, even though it's a kosher animal, and you can't eat it; it becomes a nevela. So the fact of the matter is, Hashem taught us through Torah Shel Peh Halacha Moshe Sinai what are the five activities that if you do them during the shechita invalidate the actual shechita itself. So those five halachos, which tell us how to do the shechita properly, not a part of the halachic dimension of the mitzvah of doing shechita if you want to eat animals that require shechita in order for you to consume them, for behemos and chayos and ofos. Those animals require shechita if you want to consume them, and the shechita for all of them, when it comes to these psulim, are basically equal. However, that's the maisa mitzvah part. The hashkafa behind the concept of shechita is the concept of, we have demonstrated, and it's been told to us, that when you do the shechita the way we kill the animals, with not violating these five psulei shechita, the tsar, which the animal feels at the time of slaughter, is as minimal as it possibly can be. The animal's already dead before it even knows it was killed. So basically speaking, it minimizes the tsar balei chayim on a very intense level. So the hashkafa behind how we do shechita is the concept of our sensitivity to tzar balei chayim, being concerned for the pain and anguish being experienced by the animal, that we have a heter to shecht, and we have a right to take it for our consumption of food and other needs and necessities. That's the hashkafa, which means that we have to be careful not to cause the pain, not to cause unnecessary pain during the amaisa shechit itself. In fact, the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva upon this, in which he says, when you make the bracha, mitzvah shechita, what you're really saying to Hashem is, I thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that if I have to shech the animal to eat it, you gave us a mitzvah of what is that? Kate said, L'rachem ala briot, how to have compassion upon animals and not pain them unduly when I kill them for the sake of food and other specific needs and necessities. So we therefore see that the maisa mitzvah, the actual performance of the mitzvah, is part of the technical concept of halacha. How do you do it? And what you're not supposed to do, what you're supposed to do. But when it comes to the hashkafa behind it, the tamei mitzvah, it's to give us a sensitivity to tzar balei chayim. So just imagine for a couple of minutes. If we have a whole slew of mitzvahs, and we have about 6, 7, 8, 9 mitzvahs in the Torah, whose tam ha-mitzvah is the concept of being sensitive to tzar balei chayim for pain, which animals suffer, if that's a major hashkafa as the Torah, do you not think that that's going to ingrain in our mind and heart a sensitivity for the members of the animal kingdom? And as the Chazal say, if we're supposed to be sensitive even for the animal kingdom and be concerned with their tzar, Kal v'chaimah, the Ramban and the Rambam Sev and other Rishenim and Achreinim, we have to have concern for the tzar balei chayim of a human being we deal with each and every day on an ongoing basis, not to cause them unnecessary tzar. And this would be in Hashkafes HaTeira. So that makes us rachmonim, makes us compassionate, makes us loving individuals, appreciating the Bria, but also being sensitive to the needs and necessities of not only other human beings, of Avat Abriyas, Vahafter Echemoch, Avis Israel, but even having a certain compassion and love and concern for members of the animal kingdom, to treat them with respect and covet and use them properly and not cause them undue pain and anguish in our processing them for the purposes of our ritual slaughter, whether we're going to eat them, whether we're going to bring them as karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. It has to be done in the most compassionate fashion to teach us the midah v'rachmanut. So we therefore see that when we therefore do shechita, the people doing it, the people ultimately eating this geshachtan and meat, realize that this in our religion is a manifestation of sensitizing us to the concept of rachmanut, having compassion and love on all of Hashem's creatures, racham avo kamasov. There's a spiritual kavana besides the practical performance of the mitzvah sheet itself. I will tell you that during the Nazi regime, Yimach Shmon v'Zichram, they once wanted to make a blood libel that our ritual slaughter is more painful in killing animals than the way that they kill animals. And there was a very famous rabbi, Rabbi Monk in France, who basically challenged them on that specific question. And they did a laboratory test. And they connect the animals to certain machinery that can measure all different types of pain and anguish and trauma which animals experience during their death process. We killed our animals on these machines using shechita. The non-Jewish world, who in this case the Nazis, basically killed them the way they kill the animals for consumption. And afterwards, the documentation of these tests demonstrated there is much less trauma and pain and anguish inflicted upon animals that are killed by our ritual slaughter than that done by the non-Jewish world, which put that blood libel of the Nazis to rest, that it was not true, demonstrated it was not the case. In fact, Rabbi Monk later on published a book after the Holocaust on this entire experiment, publicizing to the world that in ritual slaughter, we minimize the tsar and pain to the animals. It's the most compassionate way to kill animals rather than killing the way the non-Jewish world does when it comes to their processing their meat and their food for consumption. So therefore, what I want to point out to you is that the mitzvos of the Torah, for them to not only be a kiyum in the God's divine command that we perform this mitzvah and that mitzvah, to have the schus of the kiyum of these tayag mitzvahs. Not only is it to get mitzvah points in Shemayim that I did this mitzvah and that mitzvah, but mitzvahs, besides being studied halachically, we have to study also what's called the ta'amei ha-mitzvahs, the reasons and rationale behind the mitzvahs, because when you do that, every mitzvah we perform has a greater meaning and significance to us. It makes it something that's tangible, that's substantive, that's educational, that's meaningful, that's emotional, that's spiritual, that uplifts us, and therefore fine-tunes Klal Yisrael, that we should be the Amanifcha with special spiritual sensitivities that have been given to us by studying the Tamei Mitzvahs, the Tayag Mitzvahs, and when we do the mitzvahs, thinking about these Tamei, besides the actual practical performance of the mitzvah, and therefore by doing both of these things, having a greater impact of mitzvahs upon us during our lifetime. That will take away mitzvahs from being a mitzvah anoshim olamada by being just mechanical activities. It will give them a reason, a rhyme. It will give them a purpose which will impact upon our spiritual development, our ways of thinking in this world, our ways of interacting with everything that surrounds us from all sides, and will therefore make us a holier people, and I'm segula, and I'm kadosh, which Hashem wanted us to become by giving us Torah mitzvahs, as the Midrash says, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Lazakos, to purify, to elevate us. And therefore, he gave us more Torah mitzvahs. There isn't any time of day, from the time we get up in the morning to the time we go to sleep, and even during sleep, that there isn't some mitzvah, hashkafas, the Torah, guiding us what to do during that time frame, in order that everything we do, the way we eat, drink, walk, do business, interact with human beings, interact with the animal kingdom, even the way we sleep, interact with our children, our spouses, with everything we interact, even with inanimate objects, there's Issa Bal Tashchis, not destroying the useful objects in the world that God created for man's purposes. Can't destroy fruit trees or other types of objects that have worth and value unless there is a definitive reason for doing such. Otherwise, there's Issa Bal Tashchis and Issa Deraisa. So everything that we do when it comes to Torah mitzvahs gives us Hashkafas HaTorah, which develops our personality and develops actually how we think and act on an everyday ongoing basis. Now, What I want to mention now, b'shem Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, which Reb Soloveitchik taught us, is we want to define what is the meaning of Tamei HaMitzvos. Now, this is very important because you're going to see very shortly many people make a mistake about this, and I want to give you a Masoros that I have directly going back to Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, and he gets this from the Diyukim he makes in the Rambam, especially the Rambam contained in the Mor HaNevuchim. So listen very carefully to this part of today's lecture to understand what a Tam HaMitzvah is. So listen very carefully. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik points out that when it comes to people who are involved in trying to do all types of investigative activities in this world, and quite obviously people are involved in investigative activities in the world of science, they try to investigate natural law in every specific dimension they possibly can, so they're investigating. And the people who try to investigate in our specific religion, all the different phenomenon contained in our Torah, when we're learning, we're investigating the material, trying to understand it, comprehend it. So we're all going in a process of investigation, a process of analysis. So says Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, and this is a very important point, please listen carefully, that when a person who is an investigator out there, no matter who they are, Jew or non-Jew, there are usually three questions which can possibly be raised when it comes to doing an investigation. This refers to both Torah law as well as secular law. Question number one is the why question. Why did God make this phenomenon this way? Why did he make natural law this way? Why does light travel at this type of speed and sound at this type of speed? And why does water freeze at this type of temperature? Why did God do this? Then, you know, you have the why question. Why did God give us all the various Tariag Mitzvahs he gave us? What was God's reason? What was God's rationale? So what Reb Chaim says, when it comes to the why question, why God does this and why God does that, I'm going to give you a rude awakening. Reb Chaim says that that's something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu never revealed to us as Klal Yisrael, either in Torah Shebikhtav or Torah Shebaal Peh. And that is the fact of the matter is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept that as a chok, as a divine decree. We cannot fathom the divine mind of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, one of the bakashas Moshe had in the Torah is he wanted to understand the divine mind of God, how it functions, understand what Hashem does, and how he does it, and accept, and why he does it. And the Rabban Hashem said, the why question is not possible for a Pashat or Basav Adam, a human being, to understand and comprehend. Therefore, don't even try to find it out, because you will never find the answer to that question. Why I do things is purely Gzeres HaKosov. It's a Gzeres HaKosov. Why I chose these Tayag Mitzvahs, the why question, is something that you will never know as a human being on the face of this earth. And therefore, if that's the case, the why question, which relates to not only to Torah, but it relates even to scientific phenomenon, will never be discovered by anybody, by scientists, by investigators. They'll never figure out why God wanted it to work this way. So that's the first investigative question that Chaim said applies to both secular and Torah Hashkafas. But now there's the next investigative question, the how question. How does this work? How does this function? What are the, what we call the technicalities involved in the actual mechanism of this specific phenomenon we are investigating? So comes on Reb Chaim Soloveitchik and he says, over here there is a major chilik between Torah law and between chachma of Masa Breishis, secular, scientific, and technological law, and that is the following. When it comes, halacha lamasa, to secular scientific phenomenon in this world, whether it's technological, whether it's medical, whether it's some other branch of science and technology, the fact is Hashem, who gave us a Tzelem Elokim, gave us the ability to investigate the natural law of Maisa Briyas Olam. He gave us the capacity to analyze it, to investigate it, to understand it and comprehend it. and then learn the mechanical phenomenon, how this scientific or medical phenomenon or technological phenomenon actually operate, what are the mechanics behind it. That's part of the mitzvah of Kibush Olam, which I referred to in the beginning of my shiur today. We're supposed to conquer the world and conquer the knowledge of Chachma of Masa Bereishis. How it works is something that's humanly perceivable and comprehensible. Not only is it something we're allowed to do, we're supposed to do as part of the mitzvah of Kibush Olam. Now, in contrast to this, and this is very important, when it comes to Torah, are we supposed to figure out how the mitzvah works, the mechanics behind the mitzvah, the divine functionality of the mechanical dimensions of the interior of this mitzvah? So we hear Rav Chaim Soloveitchik quoting the Rambam and Moreh Nevuchim, and another Makara says that, believe it or not, even the how question cannot be asked when it comes to the Torah, because that also is a chok which Hashem never disclosed to us. And in fact, I'm going to give you a little secret. I'm going to quote you a very interesting Medrash Chazal. We know for a fact that one of the smartest people that ever existed in Jewish history is none other than Shlomo HaMelech. It tells us in Sefer Melachim that Hashem gave him a special matana. He requested Alei Shemei. He wanted to have the ability to understand and comprehend things in this world. And Hashem therefore gave him that bakasha, and his tfuna and his chachma was so great. This is Vateirav chachma Shlomo mechachmas kol b'nei kedem kol chachmas Mitzrayim vayechcha mekol adam. He was smarter than everybody else on the face of this earth. Now, he was a brilliant person. A brilliant person, Shlomo HaMelech. Despite his brilliance, there is a pasuk in Koheles, which was written by Shlomo, which expresses a certain element of frustration. I'm going to quote the pasuk from Sefer Koheles that I'm referring to. Listen very carefully. It's in Perek Zayin, Sefer Koheles, and it's Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chav Gimel. It says in Sefer Keheles, Kol Zos Nisisi B'Chachma, I tried to analyze the world around me, and Torah V'Mitzvos, Armarti Echchama, I thought I would become a Chacham, an expert in all of these fields after I analyzed them, V'Yirecholke Mimenu, but I still see its distance from me, Rochach Mashahoya, Roch is what I studied up until now, Amok, Amok, it's very deep, Mi Yimtza, and who could ever find out what this is all about. Now, what type of Chachma was he referring to? Was he referring to all Chachmos, or to a specific genre of Chachmos? So there is a Medrash Tanchuma on this Pasuk that basically quotes what Shlomo was referring to in this Pasuk in Sefer Keheles. Let me read you the Medrash Tanchuma in Pashas Chukas, which is this week's Pashas HaShavua. Amo Shlomo, Al kol elo amadti parshas u'shapara aduma chakarti v'shaalti pipasti. Amadti ech mirecholchem mimenu, mikcha miyodea pesha davar. Now, what does this mean? It means that Shlomo HaMelech thought he could conquer the chachmas haTorah to such a level that he would be able to understand the intricacies of the mechanics of every mitzvah contained in the Torah. He'd be able to answer the how question, how every mitzvah operates. What are the mechanics behind it? What's the logic in the mechanical operation of a mitzvah? And he thought this was part of the concept of studying and analyzing Ta'amei HaMitzvot. He started this analysis. But all of a sudden, after who knows how many mitzvahs he thought he had the mechanical understanding of, he came to the Pasha of Parah Aduma, and he was stifled. What happened in the Pasha of Parah Aduma? We know that the Parah Aduma is created for the purpose of using its ashes and mixing it with special spring water, that when you sprinkle on a person who's Tamei Meis, for instance, on the third and seventh day after the Tumah befell this person, it's Mataru then from Tumas Hames. So the purpose of Parah Aduma is really to cure, to purify us from the contamination of Tumas Hames, which is the highest form of Tumah that exists in this world, ritual Tumah. So when he came to this parsha, he started analyzing it, and he realized when he came to trying to understand the time of mitzvah when it comes to the mechanics, how this works, he is stifled. What's the problem? Because if you look in the parasha and Parshas Chukas, which we're going to be reading this week in Shul, you find a contradiction in the mechanics of Parah Aduma. We know it's Metar Tameim, it causes Tahara to people who are Tameim, as I just mentioned. But the Torah also is Megala, that it also is Metame Tahoram, people who are Osik on certain parts of the Parah Aduma activity, not only then they don't remain Tahara, they become Tameim. So when he tried to figure out the mechanics of how Parah Aduma operates, he found a contradiction. How can I understand the mechanics of Parah Aduma that not only is it Metar Tameim, but it is Metame Tahorim? It's a contradiction in terms. And he then realized that if he cannot understand and explain the difference, why in certain cases Parah Aduma causes Tahara, in other cases Parah Aduma causes Tumah, so he doesn't understand the nature of this concept of Parah Aduma, he realized it's a chok. He realized that the how question, how the mechanics of mitzvahs work, are not attainable by human beings. And he therefore says that I tried in my chachma, and I thought, echkam, I'd be able to understand the mechanics of all the mitzvahs of the Torah. When I came to Parah Aduma, and I had this dilemma, that I couldn't explain the opposite reactions to the Parah Aduma. In some people it's Metaher, other people it's Metameh. I realize that I don't have the capacity, no matter how brilliant I am, to explain the mechanics of how mitzvahs work. And if that's the case, that I can't explain Parah Aduma, it means that all the time I gave for how mitzvahs work in other mitzvahs beforehand, where I thought I got it and I grasped it, it's quite obviously I was mistaken in my analysis because it's out of the realm of human understanding and comprehension. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik says, from here we see that the how of why and how we do mitzvahs, the concept of the mechanics of the performance of the mitzvah, is out of the realm of human comprehension and human understanding. God does not want us to know it. It's a chok. And for that reason, from that point on, Shlomo never concentrated on trying to figure out how mitzvahs mechanically work. Even though when it came to the scientific dimension of his analysis of the world, there he had no problem finding out how in the mechanical nature of them, because by science and technology, Hashem gave us the ability to discover how it works. In Torah, he kept that as a chok, as a side. Only Hashem knows, we don't know and understand, and there's a reason behind that, but that question also, when it comes to Torah, is not able to be understood. There is then a third question that researchers do, and that is what's called the what question. What does the what question mean? What question is, once I have all the information I've done in analysis of this topic I'm discovering, the question is, what can I do with it? Mahu malamdeinu, how can I utilize it constructively for myself, for my benefit, for my health and welfare, for myself, my family, for the world at large? What do I learn from this? What hashkafa, what technical phenomenon in the scientific world? What type of basic principle in scientific and natural law? When it comes to Torah, what are the hashkafas and ideologies and concepts that emanate from this mitzvah that I can apply to my life to perfect my spirituality, to perfect how I think, how I act, how I conduct my life? So the what question, Mahu Malamdeinu, says Rav Chaim, applies not only to secular literature and analysis, because when you discover the mechanics of light and heat and electricity and all this other stuff that we basically analyze and discover how it works, we then try to apply and utilize it to uplift and benefit mankind at large. When it comes to the what question, when it comes to Torah, when we're able to figure out the hashkafas of Torah, what this mitzvah is coming to teach us of Tayag mitzvah, each and every mitzvah, as I mentioned before in my opening part of the discussion, it gives us a hashkafas of Torah that becomes part of our Torah personality to guide us and direct us and how to better ourselves and uplift ourselves when it comes to our spiritual hashkafic development. So therefore, says Rav Chaim, the ultimate purpose, the Rambam and other Rishonim said, when it comes to the purpose of studying Tamei HaMitzvos, is not to understand why God gave us this command, because we'll never know this. It's a chok. How the mitzvah mechanically works, that's also chok. We will not know it. But what we learn from this mitzvah and the hashkaf we derive from it and how it can impact upon my spiritual, ethical, moral development, that is bedafka, something we're supposed to research and find. The Torah Shlopeh, both the Nigla and Ister, the Gemaras, the Kabbalistic literature, give us the Tamim, the Hashkafes of Tamim HaMitzvos, that what Bedach was supposed to study is an integral part of Talmud Torah. As I mentioned before, that helps shape our personality and our character, making us B'nai Torah, B'nos Torah, and makes us Am Kadosh, which Hashem wants us to be, representing His divine essence in this world as being the Amanifra, the chosen people of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we therefore see from this that Tami HaMitzvah is limited to one dimension. And that is the question, the what question. Mahu Malamdenu, what can we derive from this? What can we learn from when it comes to Torah and Mitzvahs? And that's why all the Gedolim who wrote on Tami HaMitzvahs, whether it was the Rambam and Marin Avulchim, whether it was the Ramban in his Perish Lechumish and his other writings, whether it was the Sefer Chinuch and the entire Chinuch and each and every mitzvah he analyzes, he talks about the Tam, the Sherosh HaMitzvah, the Rabbanel can go through the list, the Rishayim and Achreinim, that deal with this on an extensive level throughout the ages. The purpose is to give us the Hashkafa that we should be understanding and comprehending. When we do whatever mitzvah we do, to understand the reason and rhyme behind it, that it should have an impact upon us, being meaningful, be significant. It's not just a gzera sarkasov, but there is something that is coming to teach us and guide us with. It makes it more tangible, makes it more exciting, makes it more substantive, and has a greater impact upon the hashkaf and ideology, how we think and how we do things when it comes to our life in this world itself. I just want to end off my discussion with the following Maimer Chazal. It is for this reason that the Rebbeinu Shalom said that when you are becoming my Am Anivcha, my Am Kadosh, my holy nation, I want the nations of the world to see that you're different from everybody else. And the Pasuk says in Parshas Kisavo, V'ra'u kol ame aretz, when the nations of the world will see, ki shem Hashem nikra lecha, that God's name is called upon you, v'yoru imecha, they will learn the fear and reverence to God from the way you conduct yourselves. So the Vilna Gaon says, what is the pshat of the Pasuk? The Vilna Gaon says, the pshat of the Pasuk is that two psukim before, it says, Yikimcha Hashem lo la'am kadosh, Hashem made us to be His holy nation. He also, he said, as tishmor as mitzvah Hashem elokecha, the way we are going to become the Am Kadosh, observing His mitzvahs, and we're going to walk in the spiritual pathways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which happens to be the 611th mitzvah, the Tayyar mitzvah, is contained in the Torah in the sequence elaborated by the Sefer Chinuch in his specific mitzvah book. So the Halach Derachav means that when we conduct ourselves and model ourselves after the Hashkafas of Torah contained in Tayyag mitzvahs, And we emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's activities as they're portrayed in the Torah anthropomorphically, and do the acts of chesed and tzedakah and rachamim and compassion and judgment, which we witness Hashem doing throughout the passages of Tanakh from beginning to end. And in Mamorei Chazal, we see that give us a greater perish and understanding of the psukim of Tanakh and what they mean on a deeper Tami HaMitzvah level. When we do this, God's name becomes embedded in us. We become a walking divine representative machine in this world. Shem Hashem Nikra Lecha. People see God in you. The way you talk, the way you act, the way you behave yourself, the way you interact with other human beings. Chazal point out that by doing this, we make the Shem Hashem Eshavi Yodecha, when people see people acting in a certain way with propriety and honesty and respect and covet, and we speak a certain way and we act a certain way, and we have love and compassion and concern for others, it causes us to cause God's name to become beloved by others, the mitzvah Avat Hashem, and we cause a Kiddush Shem Shemayim, or Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. So says the Pasuk over here, if Klal Yisrael, if it takes to heart all of the mitzvahs and integrates those machshavas of the mitzvahs, the concepts of the mitzvahs, into our heart and mind when we perform these mitzvahs, and it changes the way we think, the way we act, and therefore we act different than everybody else because we've been uplifted by the kedusha and sanctity and the hashkafas contained in the Torah, Yoru Mimecha, the Goyim will see such a Kiddush Hashem and look upon us and with such a reverence of being the Amanivcha, the concept of being an Arla Goyim, which Hashem put in this world for the Goyim to use us as a resource of them coming close to Hashem, as the Rambam describes at the end of Hilchos Malachim, of Klal Yisrael's major functional role at the end of time in Mos HaMashiach, will be an Arla Goyim. When we're able to accomplish this, we will have fulfilled our mission in Tachlis this world as Klal Yisrael, because a Kiddush Hashem, make Hashem's name beloved by others. But that's only if we study not only the mechanics of mitzvahs, but we study the hashkafas, the tamei hamitzvahs, integrate them into our personality, the way we think, the way we act, the way we conduct ourselves, and they fine-tune who we are and what we are. And that's why the Medrash Chazal says, which I started with, Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakis Yisrael, Hashem wanted not only to give us zechuyos, extra mitzvahs, but He wanted to purify us, uplift us, sanctify us, make us a special group of people that are imbued with Kedusha, sanctity, holiness, and Hashkafas HaTorah. If we basically fulfill that mandate, we're going to cause the Torah L'Haglot, Torah L'Hadir, cause a glorification of God, glorification of His Torah, bring sanctity to this world, bring peace to this world, and the world one day, as Rabbi Kiva said to his Talmidim, before he passed away, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, in the time of the belligerence of the non-Jewish world against us, anti-Semitism, maybe the only one who understands God is us. But Hashem Echad, there will be a common time in the world that the whole world will understand who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. There's only one God, Hashem. Achdus Habari will be universal. They'll understand who Klal Yisrael is when it comes to this formula and how we represent divine essence, God's divine essence in this world. Will search and seek us out and be mechabed us for who we are, give us kavod, respect, preserve us, help us, and feel honored to be part and parcel friends with Klal Yisrael. That tekufa will come, Talmidim of the Talmidos. It might be difficult now to perceive it and understand it because we're living in a very biased, anti-Semitic, very, very dangerous, violent world, but that's not going to last forever. That will come to an end when Hashem wants to have the Mashiach come and have the ultimate redemption take place. We'll see all the brachas, aksuvas, b'torah, concerning us and the rest of the world come into total fulfillment. You studying tamei hamitzvahs on an ongoing basis will set the path for us to be able to fine-tune our personalities, to cause God's name to become beloved of others, to see the Shem Hashem Nikra Alech, to cause the Kiddush Hashem. Let's hope and pray on a corporate level we work together to accomplish this. And our B'Makadosh Shem Shemayim will bring the coming of Mashiach, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and the ultimate redemption, B'Mehemim Amen V'Amen, and take the time and effort to study Tamei HaMitzvahs, besides everything else you study when it comes to Halacha, and all other types of erudition referring to Torah literature itself.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.